Behind Enemy Lines is presented by Gatorade, win from within. For the latest on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, let's go Behind Enemy Lines, presented by Gatorade here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and welcome in Jenna Lane, Bucs insider for SportsTalkFlorida.com, as well as a radio host on SportsTalk 1040, the team in Tampa, Florida. Jenna, the first thing I want to know about this Tampa Bay team is, what is the biggest reason that they have doubled their win total from 2 a year ago to 4 this year through just 9 games?
Well, I think a big reason is offensive play calling has been a big issue, of course. Having Dirk Koetter there versus Marcus Arroyo, not a knock on him, but he just was very inexperienced when it came to the NFL. And also, too, having a ground game, having Jameis Winston, I think you just said one reason, but just having all of those factors there, I think, really has gone a long way. Because let's face it, if an offense just keeps going three and out, guess what? Even if your defense is strong, you're going to have to be on the field way too long. And I just think that was overall just the biggest issue from this past year. Offensively, they just could not get anything going, and it really showed.
So, Jenna, obviously the Buccaneers used the number one overall pick on Jameis Winston, and he has progressed nicely as a rookie. What has been something that has surprised you as someone who has followed his development from training camp up until now, leading up to this game against the Eagles?
Well, you know, early on, especially in that season opener against the Titans, you just saw him doing way too much, not checking down, not knowing when to take a sack or throw the ball out of bounds. And he was just trying to take on too much. And he also did a little bit of that at Florida State, forced things at times. That's where you saw those interceptions. But in that stretch there, and he did throw some interceptions this past week, but I really think that just taking care of the football and also using the talent around him, he doesn't have to do it all on his own. That's why he's got Doug Martin, and Doug Martin has had a really strong season so far. You know, when he does have some weapons, I know he is without several of his receiving targets, but at one point he did have Vincent Jackson and Mike Evans. He could really rely on those guys, as well as Lewis Murphy, who's now an IR. He could really rely on all those guys so he wasn't having to shoulder the burden alone. So just the fact that he's learning how to spread the ball around, he's learning how to check down, sometimes to Charles Sims even, using his running backs as well, handing off to them to where he's not having 40 passing attempts a game, and just doing that. And he even said before, he's like, I'm not the focal point of this team. It's all the guys around me. I think that's been the biggest difference maker for him, especially with guys that are that young. Usually you don't see them learning how to take sacks and throwing the ball away until a little bit later on in the process.
So, Jenna, looking at this receiver core, it doesn't look like Vincent Jackson will play again this Sunday. So how much pressure is on Mike Evans to once again pretty much be the focal point of the passing attack for this Bucs offense?
Well, and it's an enormous amount of pressure because not only are they without Vincent Jackson, but they're also without Austin Seferian Jenkins, who really was drafted to be another one of those big receiving targets. And then Lewis Murphy, too. They've missed him. He's been on IR. And I remember during the preseason, Lewis was injured during training camp, and he came out there, and after about 2 days of work with Jameis, he ended up being his top receiving target in that season opener. And those two just had enormous chemistry. So you take all those guys away, and you do have Micah Evans, and he was a seventh overall pick, and he's a tremendous player. But outside of him, all those guys are undrafted free agents with 3 years of experience or less. And so that's a really tall task. But in the case of Evans, when he first got to the Bucs, he wasn't even running a full route tree this past year. So he's had to grow really, really, really fast. And a guy like Vincent Jackson, maybe he's lost a step or two. He is in his 30s, but he knows a lot of these moves of these DBs. He knows what things he can and can't get away with. I think he's able to also win a lot of those jump battles really easily. Mike is still kind of learning how to do that. He's still learning how to draw, you know, the team's number one DB. He's learning, okay, how to be able to take some of these passes, catch some of these passes, you know, sandwiched in between two defenders. He's still learning a lot of those things. So he's now, of course, going to be the focal point of all these defenses from here on out. And I'm not going to lie, it's a little bit surprising that the Bucs haven't at least gone out and tried to get another receiver just to kind of help him out, because I do think there is a drop-off from where Mike Evans is versus where some of these other guys are.
Jenna, looking at what Lovie Smith has done with the defensive side of the football, there's a stat that I found really intriguing. It's the fact that they are 7th in terms of yards allowed, but 26th in points allowed. Is there any way that you can explain such a big difference there?
I think they've been strong against the run, and I think they've been, for the most part, good about stopping it. But then you look at some of the big plays that they've given up. Some of it might have been because of that cover two, bend but don't break style of defense where they're giving up incremental yardages down the field. But on third down, they were just giving up big plays. But I will tell you that in the last couple weeks, because they've made a ton of changes in their secondary, not just with safety, but in terms of their cornerbacks, I never would have thought at the beginning of the season that a guy named Jude Ajayi-Barima, who I didn't even know of before the season, he had a tryout with the team. That's how he ended up signing with the Buccaneers. And then Sterling Moore, never would have thought those would have been the two starting cornerbacks. But by the way things sound from listening to Lovie Smith, he seems to believe that this is now the best combination of corners that he's had. And if you look at this past week against Dallas, Sterling Moore did a heck of a job in shutting down Dez Bryant. So they're starting to get it together, and I think that those stats are going to start looking just a little bit better. But, yeah, you're right. A team like that, they should be able to get off the field on third down, but because they haven't, that's why those numbers are the way they are.
Jenna Lane, Bucs insider for SportsTalkFlorida.com and also a radio host for Sports Talk 1040 The Team in Tampa, Florida. Thank you very much for taking us behind enemy lines, presented by Gatorade here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com.